Okay, let's try that. So anyway, this morning we're going to return to this to the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 6. Okay, now when everybody finds it, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, because I want to read this this passage responsively this morning, and because we all have different translations, we're going to read it together on the screen this morning. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 6, I'll read verse 1, you do verse 2, I'll do verse 3, you do verse 4 until we get to verse 6. Paul's writing to the believers in Rome, and he says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship."
And do not be conformed to this world,
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually, members one of another. One to six. Thank you. You may be seated. The reason we're returning to the study on the gift of prophecy, because when we first looked at it the first time, we looked at it in light of walking in the Spirit. And if you've got printed notes, then this is part of those notes this morning, so you won't have to write them down. But the first thing we looked at was this: what the gift of prophecy looks like when it's controlled by the Spirit. And we saw that they like to speak. The person with the gift of prophecy likes to speak. B, they're committed to truth. C, they are very discerning. D, they're 100% committed. E, they are open to correction. F, they are very loyal. G, they're willing to suffer. And H, they will tell you what they believe. Now, this morning, we want to look at the same gift in light of using it in the flesh. So if you're taking notes, number two, what we're going to look at this morning is what the gift of prophecy looks like when it's controlled by your flesh or when you're walking in your old nature. If you were with us last week, you remember that my favorite superhero of all time is who? Superman. Should be everybody's. Superman. But Superman had one weakness. Well, no, really, he had two. One was Lois Lane, but I digress. But the thing that Superman really feared was what? Kryptonite. Exactly. That was his greatest fear. When Superman would walk into the presence of kryptonite, what was his strength? Became weak. The things that he was able to accomplish a few moments before are no longer in his power to accomplish. And if Superman remained under the control of kryptonite for too long, he would die. Exactly. Anyone remember what we said the Christian's kryptonite was? Anybody remember? Well, sin. Yeah, sin, but more than that. Walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh. It is our flesh, our old nature, and the flesh will not only make our spiritual gifts weak, it will kill our spiritual lives if we choose to remain there. please understand this morning, I'm not talking about salvation, all right? When you come to know Christ as your personal Savior, nothing can change that. God says no one can take you out of the palm of his hand. So we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about our relationship or our walk with God, our moment by moment time with him. So there are two questions I'd like you to consider this morning. Question number one, what can your flesh, your old nature, make you do? What can your flesh or your old nature make you do? Talk to me. It can make you sin, all right? Anybody else have any ideas? Well, you're half right. Your flesh cannot, what can your flesh make you do? Nothing. Nothing. It's your old nature. Walking in the flesh. Walking, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to direct your life, you are directing your life. Instead of walking in step with the Holy Spirit, you have chosen to do what the things that you want to do instead. But the old nature can make you do nothing. Your old nature, or the flesh, only has the power that you allow it to have. Question number two. What can Satan make you do?
Nothing.
That's exactly right. Satan can make you do nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible says this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's a choice. Okay? For you that are taking note, the printed notes, that's that line. That's your choice. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a fact. James chapter 4 and verse 7. So your old nature can make you do nothing unless you allow it. Satan can make you do nothing unless you allow it. When we choose to walk in the flesh, it's no one's fault but our own. It's not circumstances' fault. It's not another person's fault. It's not your upbringing's fault. It's nothing, because the Bible says when we come to Christ, we are new creatures, new creations. All things have passed away. Behold, all things. And Dan Ward, what would all things be? Become new. So when we choose to walk in the flesh, when we choose to do the things that are contrary to the Spirit, it's no one's fault but our own. So what does it look like? This morning, that's what we want to look at tomorrow. What does it look like when the person with a gift of prophecy walks in the flesh? Well, A, they start making excuses. They make excuses. When the person with a gift of prophecy is walking in the Spirit, remember, they see things as right and wrong, black and white. Yet when they're walking in the flesh, all of a sudden, that black and white person starts to become gray. God wants that person to do something, and they don't want to do it. Most people say, you know what? I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to. Well, the person with the gift of prophecy, because they are so committed to truth, they will start justifying in their own mind why they won't do it, or why this command from God or this thing that God has asked me to do is not for them. And as committed as they are to truth, when they are walking in the Spirit, they are just as committed to their excuses when they're walking in the flesh. Now, what happens when they do this? What happens when they excuse away their obedience? Well, by that choice, or it could be multiple choice, number of choices, they have chosen to disconnect. The Holy Spirit is working in their heart, and the flesh tells them, you know what, just forget that, Pastor Brian. Just forget it. So at that moment, when they make that decision, they have chosen to disconnect. They have moved their commitment from truth to their excuse. At the moment of that decision, they have chosen to quench the Spirit. They have grieved the Spirit. They have disconnected themselves from their source of power. the Holy Spirit. Again, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about a moment-by-moment relationship with God. And not only have they disconnected from the Spirit, their choice to walk in the flesh also affects the people around them in a negative way. Many parents have lost control of their children. Many marriages have broken apart. And people have actually lost their jobs because someone in those relationships have chosen to excuse away the prodding of the Holy Spirit. B, they become deceitful. When they're walking in this flesh, they become deceitful. When the person with the gift of prophecy is walking in the Spirit, one of their strengths is that they're very truthful. They are committed to truth. Yet when that same person is walking in the flesh, they can become very deceitful. You may wonder how this happens. Well, you're thinking, how can you be so committed to truth on one hand and then turn around and become a liar? Well, understand, that's exactly what Christian kryptonite does to you. It changes you. When we walk in the flesh, there is not a sin that you and I cannot commit. Listen to me for a moment. Those guys that we ministered to in the prison, they have done nothing that you and I cannot do if we remain in our flesh. There is no sin in them that's not in us if we refuse to walk in the Spirit and remain walking in the flesh. There isn't. You know, too often, we are quick to judge others. But on the flip side, we are very quick to forget who we are when we choose to walk in the flesh. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we proudly display our righteous deeds, we find they are but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall. And our sins, like the wind, sweep us away. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. As you know, the fruit of the Spirit yields multiple fruit. The fruit of the flesh yields one, and that's death. So never think it's not a big deal when you have to choose between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. It is a big deal because that decision could change you as well as the people you love forever. They become deceitful, see? They become rebellious. A person with a gift of prophecy is committed to obedience and righteousness when they're walking in the Spirit. But when they turn to the flesh, they become very strong-willed and rebellious. The person with the gift of prophecy is very sincere. They are truthful and they're committed to what they say. Yet when they walk in the flesh, they become the hypocrites that give Christianity a bad name. They say one thing, but their lifestyle doesn't back it up. Again, when you and I choose to walk in our flesh, our spiritual gift becomes our weakness. We act opposite of what we do when we're walking in the Spirit. D, they become immoral. The person with the gift of prophecy is committed to relationships. They are a very moral person. Yet when they walk in the flesh, they can become very sexual in their actions, very impure in their thoughts and words. And unaddressed long enough, that sin will eventually show up in their lives. My guess would be, and it's only a guess, I have no reason other to know this other than just a guess, but my guess would be that most pastors have the gift of prophecy, or many of them. And again, when we're talking about prophecy, just remember, we're not talking about fortune tellers or telling the future. We're talking about the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is teaching or speaking out God's truth, the Word of God. But do you know what the number one sin is, according to surveys, the number one sin is for pastors? Pornography. Exactly right. It's pornography. Now, let me just say this. Just so you know, that's not an issue with your pastor. Now, it could be, just like any sin is. I have my issues, struggles. This is not one of them. But for most pastors, well, I shouldn't say for most pastors, but the pastors that are given into sin, this is the number one sin that they go to, is pornography. I remember talking to a leader of a well-known ministry a number of years ago, and he said to me, Brian, I get a call almost every day telling me of another person in the ministry that has fallen into a sexual sin. I have friends of mine that were in the ministry that had tons of abilities and talents, and God had gifted them way beyond me. And from a human perspective, it looked like God was using them in a great way for his kingdom. But they chose to give it all up when they chose to walk in the flesh and become immoral. They become immoral. D-E. They become fearful. They become fearful. The person with the gift of prophecy can be very bold because of their willingness to stand on the Word of God. Yet, this person can become very fearful when they're walking in the flesh. They become very ineffective in ministry because instead of trusting God, they trust themselves. And those are some of the things that girls are talking about in their meetings, and those are some of the very things that we covered, remember, in our study on the forgotten God. When we become fearful, we start trusting other things instead of God. And it's easy to know when you're in the flesh. Because when you are fearful, you know it's not from God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 17. F. They become vindictive. They can become vindictive. The person with the gift of prophecy, because of their commitment to loyalty, can be very forgiven. Even if they're misused and betrayed, when they're walking in the Spirit, they will forgive the person that has hurt them or has sinned against them. But when they walk in the flesh, they can become the most vindictive person you've ever met. They can be vindictive, and they can refuse to forgive that person who hurt them. And when they're walking in the flesh, it becomes very easy to do that. The person is so committed to loyalty, it's just the opposite when they allow the flesh to take over. And you will find that those people can walk out of your life and never give it a second thought because they become vindictive. G, they can become contentious. They can become contentious. The person with the gift of prophecy is a very persuasive person because that's how the Holy Spirit has gifted them. Yet, if you take that same person and let them walk in the flesh, they can become very contentious and contrary. So much so that no one even wants to listen to them. Many years ago, God brought a man into my life that taught me more about ministry than anyone else he has brought into my life. Much of who I am today and how I minister today is because of his influence in my life. I can remember when Judy was in the hospital. She was in the hospital because The doctors said that she had a heart attack. And they rushed her from the clinic by ambulance to the hospital. And you know who was the first guy to call? This guy. He called me at the hospital just to make sure everything was okay and to call to let me know that his wife and he were praying for us and wanted to know what they could do to help us. When we almost lost our oldest daughter, Heather, with diabetes, he called me from overseas to see how we were doing and to let us know that they were praying for them. When God, later on in that ministry, when God led us away from that ministry, this man came to my house and to try to convince Judy and I to stay. But he also came to our house to make sure that we were convinced that this was God's will for us. That was my friend when he was walking in the Spirit. But when he walked in the flesh and he wanted to persuade me, he could scream and yell at me as well as he could have talked to me. He could intimidate me like no one else in my life. He would become contentious and he would try to control me by his strong personality instead of by the Holy Spirit. When my friend walked in the Spirit, he influenced me in many ways. But when he walked in the flesh, all he wanted to do was control me. H, they can change their focus. They can change their focus. The person with the gift of prophecy is committed to truth, is committed to God's word. And when they're walking in the Spirit, their passion is to get the word of God out to as many people as possible. They spend many hours studying so that they will be true to the word of God. Their prime motivational gift compels them to get people to be committed to God's word as much as they are. Now that's when they're walking in the Spirit. When they walk in the flesh, their focus changes. Instead of focusing on the people, give you an example. Instead of focusing on the people that show up on Sunday to be taught the truth, they look at the people that don't show up. And if they stay there in the flesh, because they want people to be committed to truth, they'll get upset when people give excuses why they're not in church on any particular Sunday. Maybe you've used some of these. Now, just so you know, I'm not upset with you, all right? Or I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but maybe you've used some of these excuses. You know, Pastor, we would have been there, but man, there's just so many ball games going on all the time. We're just going from one to another. Or Pastor, you know what? We woke up on Sunday, and it was a beautiful day to go to the beach. Or Pastor, you know what? I would have been there, but you know, it's the only day all week I got to sleep in. Or, you know what, I haven't spent much time with my family, so I just thought, you know what better day to spend time with my family than on Sunday? Or, my spouse was sick, so I needed to stay home with them. Or, I had work to do around the house. And it's an amazing thing if you think about it. None of us are different, whether you have the gift of prophecy or something else. Many times, the excuses we use to stay away from God and his people would never work at work. You know, if we would try to use those excuses to our boss at work, most of us wouldn't keep our job for very long. Erwin Lutzer said, "Pastoring is like a chef working all week on this gourmet buffet, and then the time arrives for the guests to come, and few, if any, show up." Doesn't matter whether it's the pastor or the person with the gift of prophecy. If they continue to walk in the flesh, then their focus has gone from getting out truth to those that come to being upset with those that do not. We need to remember, and we'll close with a couple final thoughts here. We need to remember, when we are walking in the Spirit, our gifts become our strengths. God has gifted us so that we would bring honor and glory to Him. But He's also gifted us to serve people. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in his various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 5. We need to remember, never forget, that when we are walking in the flesh, there is nothing in our flesh that wants to bring honor and glory to God. There's nothing in our flesh that will give us that commitment that we need to serve others. Our flesh does not want us to serve God's body. Your flesh will always want to make you God of your life. And they'll always try to convince you how important it is to serve you. You can take it to the bank. When you and I choose to walk in the flesh, nothing good, nothing of any eternal consequence can come out of it. And it doesn't matter what your spiritual gift is. When you and I choose to walk in the flesh, every area of our life is affected. Every strength that we have will be turned to weakness. And it will always happen because for the Christian, our kryptonite is walking in the flesh. There may be some here this morning that are less committed to God today than you have in other times in your life. You may be here this morning and you are less committed to your relationship with God than you used to be. Someone once said, if that is true of you, then you have backslidden. You are in a backslidden state. And if that's you this morning, I don't know if that's you or not. You know, God knows. But if that's you this morning, if you're in a relationship with God right now that's less than it's ever been before, I would plead with you to confess your sin. Repent. Return to God and start living under the control of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what God said. He said, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. My counsel is this, live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. No matter how you say it, no matter what translation you want to use, if you choose to walk in the Spirit, good things will happen. If you choose not to, you will always reap a consequence of that choice. And remember this, that choice doesn't just affect you. it affects everyone around you. The Christian kryptonite is the flesh. Live in the flesh, and your spiritual walk, your spiritual gifts become weak. Live in the flesh long enough, and it will kill your walk with God. If you're living your life under the power of the flesh and not the power of the Holy Spirit, I'd encourage you this morning to repent, to confess your sins, and start living your life under the control of the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you're walking in the Spirit, may this message be a reminder to every one of us that we are only one decision away from walking away from God. One choice away from having our spiritual strengths become our weaknesses. But may this message also be an encouragement to those who are living under the control of the Holy Spirit. May it be an encouragement to you to continue on, because there is nothing that we can do that will impact eternity more than us living under the power of the Spirit of God. A Christian Indian. That's how I read it. I don't know if you can still call them Indians, but this is how it was written. A Christian Indian explained victory over the flesh. He said this: I have two dogs living within me. Which one wins? He said this: the one to whom I say, Sekhem. All right, some of you will get that in a little bit. And can I remind us all that's true of us? The one that we say Sekhem to will determine our spiritual legacy. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We're going to close with a song this morning.